Buenas and half a day to all our listeners on Guam and in the CNMI. It's now time for Total Health right here on Joy FM Radio, where your questions get answered by health professionals. If you have any health-related questions, we would love to hear from you. Call your questions and comments in at 472-1111 or text or WhatsApp 686-9999. If you're in the CNMI, please call 323-1113. Welcome, everybody, to Total Health.
Hi, and welcome to Total Health. My name is Rose Trina, and in the studio today we have Elena Tanova, nurse practitioner, and Dr. Jared Santana. And today we're talking about longevity, or how to live a long life.
Yeah, Rosie, hi. I'm very excited about this topic. It has been going on in my mind for a while. But then one time when I was approaching Dr. Santana, one and only Dr. Santana, he was reading a book on longevity. I said, that's it. That's a topic me and you, we can certainly discuss on. And not only one book, he had many books on longevity. And finally, he agreed to come and kind of share his experience with us, everything that he has read. And I am very excited to hear what he has in store. Dr. Santana, welcome back to our show today.
Thank you, Elena. It's a pleasure to be here.
I don't think I need to present you again. You have been several times with us. You're an internal medicine physician, and you kind of basically do everything in our clinic. We are very excited to have you. And most of all, thank you for being willing to share with our listeners today on the fact how we can prolong our lives, how we can live a long life, not just a long life, a quality long life.
Correct.
It wasn't long ago that we had another topic with Dr. Daniel de Bordelab, one of our family medicine doctors, and we spoke about death, because death is a clinical diagnosis. But longevity, a long life, it's not. It is not there. We cannot put it next to your name and say that patient doesn't have diabetes, doesn't have a high blood pressure, but has longevity.
Right.
It's not right there.
It's not a diagnosis we can put a code and we can bill for as physicians,
But why not? I think one day that should be our aim.
It really should.
Exactly. And so, but today we're going to talk about non-diagnosis, but still very related to health, because we want to live as long as God has ordained for us, as long as our mission is on this earth, as long as we can complete our dreams or the dreams that God has for us, because He's our Creator. He created us for a reason.
Amen.
Many of us die prematurely because of one or another reason. And if it is not dramatic, we don't want to shorten our lives unnecessarily with conditions that could be prevented and avoided. We have spoken a lot about lifestyle medicine in our radio show. But today, I hope we have a magic formula, or we have several formulas of if you want to live long, we will talk about that. I don't know about you.
it reminds me of a patient I had who had lived to 100 years old, and he attributed to smoking. He said, I lived 100 because I smoke. And I was thinking, buddy, can you imagine how long you would live if you didn't smoke? So we want to clear up a little of the misconception when it comes to longevity.
Right. I also used to work in a cardiovascular ICU, and I know that we can maintain somebody on machines for a very long time.
Correct.
With artificial hearts, artificial machines, lung heart machine, but is it a quality life?
Right.
So today we're going to talk about long life, quality life, beautiful life, and abundant life, as the Bible calls it.
Right. I'm glad you said that, because who wants to live a long life when the last 20, 25 years of their life they're spent, on a ventilator machine or oxygen dependent, or, without legs because of amputations, or any other type of, or a cancer maybe that doesn't allow you to eat because of the chemotherapy or something like that. We want to live a long, healthy life. We want to live a life full of, adventure, vision, something that would make us excited about living, right? Not live sick. Right.
This is exactly what we're going to talk about, because it might happen that you're on ventilator. It might happen that you have lost your legs. It might happen the worst thing to you, but we want the rest of your life to be a quality life in which you can glorify God, the creator that has created you, and you can
Correct.
Make a difference. I know people that have been on bed for 20 years and they have written amazing books
Correct.
That until today they can help us.
Right.
Even about the topic of suffering, Amy Carmichael, it's valid until today. It can really make a difference. One day of your life can make an impact on others exponentially that, you know, will... change the world.
Correct.
So we never know.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree with you.
I was reading about a lady that she lived 122 years of age. I think the longest she was from France, and she used to say, "I waited 120 years to become famous," because she is the oldest lady lived so long, and now she is famous.
And
she did attribute that to a healthy lifestyle.
Good. Yeah.
So, Dr. Santana, tell us, what is longevity?
So, longevity has a very, very simple definition, you know. And I wanted to get the correct definition for you this afternoon. And longevity basically means a long duration of life. And it's based on several factors. And I know one of the questions that people have is, you know, what are the factors that make you have a long duration of life? So if you permit me, I'm just going to go over a few of these. The first one is genetics. Obviously, you know, genetics plays a role. You know, if you come from a long line of good genes, it's about 30% of your longevity factors relate to your DNA. You know, if your grandparents, if your great-grandparents lived a long life, also depending on other factors, but there's a better chance that you may also live a long life. Now, that being said, lifestyle is the number two, right? Lifestyle, we're talking about diet, exercise, and very importantly, avoiding harmful substances, right? You want to live a long life. Unlike my patient that lived 100, we don't want to smoke our way and try to live that long life by smoking or excess alcohol, drugs, etc., right? So having a good lifestyle is a factor. Healthcare. There are many people in the world that don't have access to healthcare. And if you go back, you know, 100, 120 years ago, people weren't dying from chronic disease. They were dying from infections, you know, tuberculosis. There were no antibiotics. People, as antibiotics started to enter into the realm of medicine, even people who were very rural in other places of the world, they didn't have access to this. So their life was cut short. The average lifespan in many places was 30-something, 40-something.
Right.
Right. So healthcare, access to medical care, is a factor, and also the environment. You know, do you have access to clean air and clean water? Many parts of the world do not, right? And this definitely impacts longevity. Those are the four main factors.
There are still countries in the world that people live 30, 40 years. I remember in Afghanistan, you know, when I heard that the average age was like 36.
Wow.
I said, wow, like we are so lucky that we can live, you know, to right. higher age than that. And today, if you are living and you're above 80, please congratulate yourself. I mean, you have taken right. some good decisions in your life to get to that level. And I aim that for all my patients. I don't know about you, but every time they come for a physical exam, I tell them, okay, now you are 55. We have 45 years to go. So
right.
we still have, you know, so
Absolutely.
Much to do.
Absolutely.
I aim for 100 years. I can't guarantee after, but right. I will help my patients get to 100 years. And then whatever God decides.
You know, from what I've seen here since I've been on Guam, our local elderly Chamorro population, they're long living people. I have patients in their 80s, even 90s, that look like they're in their 60s.
I know.
They're still energetic. Some of them only take maybe one or two medications, some none at all. And I think a lot of it has to do, number one, with genetics. I think the Islander, the Chamorro, does come from good genes to begin with. And I think also that generation, they came before the war, before World War II and all the things that came after World War II. And they ate a lot healthier diet back then. And I think that impacted them. So I congratulate them as well every time they come into the clinic.
Yeah, this is incredible. I'm also very happy. And when they come for the Medicare exam, I said, hey, you've done some right decisions to get to 65.
Yes.
And usually when they get to 65, they said, okay, now we don't have to do any prophylactic checkups anymore. I said, no. Now we're going to really start very hard because we want to get you to 100 years of age. Dr. Santana, tell us more about people that have really lived long.
So one of the questions I got before we showed up today, who is the oldest living person? So I had to look this one up because obviously I don't know it off the top of my head. And so it is a person by the name of Tomiko Ituka from Japan.
Japan.
Age 116. That is currently the oldest living person that we know of here in the world.
But living, but in the past we have had somebody 122 years.
Of course.
Yeah, 118 years.
Of course. That is the current living one. And who knows, they may reach 120.
Did you check? I saw that Japan is the leading country in, centenarians.
Ooh, we're going to get into that in just a few minutes. Japan has an area where they have the longest living women.
London,
in the world.
Wow.
Right.
I think some of them are our patients. They do come to clinic as well.
I believe it.
It is exciting. It is exciting to see a pattern that in some areas of the world, we have people that live longer, more than 80 years, between 80 and 100, some of them above 100. And it's not by coincidence. If you find so many people in a certain area that they gather together, they have a great social life, and they continue to live long, you kind of have to question and wonder, why is that?
That's a very good question. And we're going to look into that this evening. And we're going to talk about something very interesting. Maybe some of our listeners have heard about it, but we're going to be discussing the blue zones.
You know, I've always wondered, why is a blue zone? Is it because of the blueberries that they you know, or the blue uniform
they
wear? But then I learned that when the scientists were discovering all those places where people live longer, they had those 100-year sanitariums, they circled those areas with a blue pen and they called them the blue zones.
I love it.
That's the music, so we're going to go ahead and go to a break. If you have a question, go ahead and call it in. On Guam, call us at 671-472-1111. That's 671-472-1111. In the CNMI, you can call us at 670-323-1113. That's 670-323-1113. Don't go anywhere. Total Health Live. We'll be right back after this short break.
You've heard of oxymorons? You know, two words that completely contradict. Like clearly confused, definite maybe, and found missing. We don't suffer from sweet sorrow knowing you stand with us. We embrace old news while God's making all things new. Your support is almost exactly perfect when you look at the larger half. Wouldn't that be the same difference? Maybe it's just our unbiased opinion. Joy FM, family-friendly radio.
Si Joe Osmoasi, and thanks for listening to Total Health on Joy FM. We want to hear from you. Call in with your health-related questions at 472-1111. In Guam or in the CNMI, the number to call is 323-1113. Text or WhatsApp us at 686-9999. And now, back to the show.
Hi, and welcome back to Total Health Live. In the studio today, we're talking about longevity, and before we went to break, we were actually talking about the blue zones.
Yeah, those blue zones, they became very famous lately. I don't think there was a lot of publicity, maybe for certain people, but nowadays we know about the blue zones. Those are the zones that people live longer. And to be honest, when the clinic was setting up, we were thinking, why not making Guam a blue zone? Of course. Why not? Why not number 8 or number 9? Or why is that not in our
agenda? I would
agenda?
Love that. Yes, of course.
And I need to tell you, Jared, before I let you tell us more about the blue zones, I talked to medical missionary doctors that used to work in Guam SDA clinic that they practiced here 20, 25 years ago. And they said, you are concerned when you see somebody having a sugar of 500 or their hemoglobin A1C is above 11. That in the past, everybody had a 25 in Guam. And so when we were practicing, it was like 25 and above. And then, you know, with a lot of work, with a lot of effort, a lot of education, a lot of radio shows, then we started seeing people jogging around and making some effort. And today, we might say, oh, we still have quite a lot of, conditions, cardiovascular conditions, but hey, it's so much better. You can't imagine how much better it is.
Wow, I'm glad to hear that.
Yes, and so why not? Maybe in 25 years from now on, we can talk about blue zones in Guam.
The blue zone. Yes.
Sounds good.
I like it. I like it.
Jared, tell us about the other blue zones.
All right, so for some of our listeners who aren't familiar with the blue zones, it all started back in 2005. There was a man by the name of Dan Buettner who wrote an article. He went around the world looking for the longest living people, but not only long living, but also healthy. People that lived a long life, a healthy life. And he managed to identify there were five regions in the world where these people lived. And this was such a big thing. It came out in the 2005 November edition of National Geographic, right? So you can go back and you can read the article. But anyways, let me share with you the five locations, okay? Number one, a little island in the country of Greece called Icaria, right? And you can look these up if you're interested. Number two, an island off the coast of Italy called Sardinia. Right. Actually, I'm not sure if it's an island or if it's a town. You might correct me on that.
It's an island.
It's an island. Okay. So Sardinia. Sardinia is interesting because it has the world's longest living men. Men live up to 100 years very, very frequently in Sardinia. And you find these guys still working in the field, still socializing, hanging out with the family, eating well. So it's a interesting place. All right. Number three. There's a place in Central America called Nicoya, Costa Rica. That was another one, a very family-oriented group of people that live a long life. They live close to rainforest areas, and they eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. All right, next one I'm missing. Fill it in. You remember?
Okinawa.
Okinawa. That I wanted you to say that because we had just mentioned Japan. The longest-living women in Japan or in the world actually came from Okinawa. Something interesting about Okinawa, and this was probably several years ago, things have changed a little bit there since the Blue Zones first came out. Okinawa has the longest living women. Once again, women in their one in reaching 100, still working, still outdoors, still with a very sharp intellect. And do you want to know what the number one calorie source was in Okinawa during this time?
It was sweet potato.
Sweet potato made up 70% of all the calories that the Okinawan diet comprised of, right? And you think, well, wait, it's an island in Japan. Shouldn't fish be the number one? Fish was actually 2% of the calories that they consumed. And so they got this incredible longevity factor from the foods they ate, and sweet potato is one of the tops. And then the fifth location is the only location found in the United States. I can't say North America because Costa Rica is part of that. This would be a little town in Southern California called Loma Linda. And it just happens to be where a group of religious people are conglomerated. This is the Seventh-day Adventist community of Loma Linda. These were the five original blue zones discovered by Dan Buettner at that time. And since then, it's just turned into a revolution. You know, if you're interested, I know Netflix has a whole documentary on the blue zones. You can find out more information online. I think they're making a movie, right, or something, or a documentary.
Oh, it's already out.
It's already out. Yeah. Okay. So I know that it's been huge, and so there's this movement. And I remember I came from Fort Worth, Texas, which is cattle country, cowboy country, right? And they were striving to make Fort Worth a blue zone, right? And so there's these movements all over the world trying to make the world a healthier place by bringing in lifestyle factors.
You know, I was reading an article of scientist that went to Okinawa, and he said, don't tell me I traveled all the way here so you can tell me that you're eating a sweet potato, that's the secret to longevity. it sounds so simple, but something that simple as like your staple food can really make a huge difference in your life. We do see sometimes, occasionally, I had a patient from Okinawa, female. She said, I asked her, what do you do? Like she was 100 years old. I said, what do you do? I was so curious. She said, oh, we all meet every day, all the women. We chit-chat. We drink green tea. You know, we talk about different things. We've lost our husbands, you know. So and sometimes we were joking. She said, I don't know if that was the reason that we are still living long. I don't know.
Less stress in the marriage.
Less stress. It is, you know, marriage is hard for women. And so... they really have a good time, and they keep on doing it. And she's absolutely able to do everything, still gardening, still moving, still exercising. It is incredible.
It is incredible.
When I looked at her, I said, I want to have that stamina when I grow old.
Wow. That's amazing. And this is the kind of thing that we saw with the Blue Zones. So the big question was, so what makes these communities live so long and live
different.
Healthy, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the author and the research that we've done since then wrote down a few things that are common factors for all five of these communities. Number one, a plant-based diet, right? Most of the communities, except I think the Loma Linda community, they eat meat, but it's only in very, very small portions. It's kind of like an addition, like an extra, not the main dish. Like it is in Texas, for example, where I came from. Another one is physical activity. All five communities stress the physical activity part. They're very active. They play sports. They work in the fields or in the garden. Another one was strong social connections, right? And you look at these groups, like we mentioned in Costa Rica, they're very, very family-oriented. They get together in the villages. We see that in the other places in Europe as well. A lot of social connections. You know, there's very little depression, very little loneliness in these communities, right? And we know that depression also and mental disorders can lead to premature death as well. All right, another thing that they found was associated with these Blue Zones, they had purpose in their life. And we can see it mainly from when we look at the Loma Linda group, right? They're faith-based. They believe in God. They have faith and hope in the future, in the second coming, right? And so this also gives them a strong purpose in life. Another one was stress reduction. These communities learned how to not make just work the absolute center and God of their life, right? They know how to relax. They know how to enjoy. They know how to have fun. They know how to socialize. And, you know, sometimes I look at us as Americans, we're overworked, right?
We live to work instead of work to live.
Exactly. And one more interesting thing that, and we might touch on this in a little bit more detail later, was they usually eat until they're 80% full. And, you know, for someone who likes to eat, sometimes I have a hard time eating when I'm 80% full and stopping, right? I just want to keep on eating, especially if the food is good. But, and we're going to see, we're going to talk a little bit about what are some of the scientifically proven tips for actually living a longer life. And the amount of food you eat has a lot to do with it.
Jared, thank you so much for, you know, sharing those characteristics. I know that there were many other areas in the world that, you know, were trying to qualify for Blue Zones. We know countries like the Philippines, they have great genes. And
they do.
You know, they do. And it's incredible. Like Africans also as well. Good genes for some things, bad genes for other things.
Right.
But thank God, genes, genetic does not dictate everything. And I was reading an article about Karakoram mountain range, which I was able to visit last year, that it is in Pakistan, very high up mountains. And people, they also live very long. They live 100 years.
Wow.
They haven't been qualified as yet as a Blue Zone because it's too high and too far away for people, for scientists to go and study their lives. But I was reading that they offered them to build a big hospital in this area. And they said, we don't need a hospital. They said, why not? You have a hospital, it will take care of your needs. They said, practically, we don't have diseases. Once in a while somebody breaks a leg, but it's not a big deal. We take him to the big city and that's it. We right. don't need a hospital. Right. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
To live in a place that there are no hospitals. Right now we are like, how many hospitals are we going to have? How many, where are we going to get the doctors from?
Right.
Can you imagine aiming for a place that there are no hospitals, no doctors?
That's because the people are so healthy.
Exactly. Right. And I tell my patients, the more you do, the less I do for you.
Seriously. I was reminded also of a, there's a group of Indians in Bolivia called the Samani Indians. It starts with a T, T-S. Samani Indians in Bolivia, very interesting people. So they did studies on them. They have basically zero heart disease, like zero. And you say, you might think, okay, well, are they vegetarian? They're actually, they do eat meat. They actually hunt and they fish. But the meat and the fish comprises, I think, only 14% of all their calories. They're farmers as well. They're so active, they log in an average of 16,000 steps a day.
Oh, wow.
You know, some of us try to shoot for that coveted amount of 10,000 steps a day. These guys are hitting it every day, you know, consistently 16,000. And they are considered a very, very healthy, long-lived people. These are Indians up in the jungles in Bolivia.
I know we have so much to learn from those indigenous tribes
right.
and people, and from the Chamorros as well. I wish we didn't introduce the Western diet to all Micronesia and all the Pacific.
Right.
I wish we still stayed with the staple foods like breadfruits and
right.
mangoes and sugar cane. Even it's healthier than you
right.
know the sugar we
than
offer.
The processed sugar.
Yes. I know, and we can only dream for that. Longevity is a dream, is a goal, is a
right.
purpose. And if you put it, you know, as your goal in your life, you can aim for it, you can get it.
And it's interesting what you just said, because before the westernization of the diet, in other words, after World War II, basically, you know, you people started having access to the canned foods, the canned meats. You who are listening know exactly what I'm talking about. And what did people here on the islands, you know, Saipan, you know, Yap, Chuuk, all the islands in Micronesia, what did they eat? They lived off fish and they lived off the land, right? And so they were much healthier. They were a long-lived people before they started eating what the Western diet brought in, unfortunately.
Maybe if we close supermarkets, we'll do good, some good. Thank you so much, Jared.
That's the music, so we're going to go ahead and cut to a break. If you're on Guam and you have a question, go ahead and call us at 671-472-1111. That's 671-472-1111. In the CNMI, you can call us at 670-323-1113. That's 670-323-1113. We're also streaming to Facebook, so if you would like to leave your question in the comments section below, please do so. Don't go anywhere. Total Health Live will be right back after this short break.
If you want a better attitude, help someone. If you want a better life outlook, find a cause to believe in. If you want joy, think of others. That's not our idea. God came up with it. We just believe it. Maybe you do too. We see evidence of this transformed thinking. People like you are praying for us. People like you are helping to make this ministry possible through regular financial gifts, a better attitude, life outlook, and improved joy. Let's do that together. Joy FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Total Health on Joy FM. Call in with your health-related questions to 472-1111 in Guam. If you live in the CNMI, we want to hear from you too. Call 323-1113 or text or WhatsApp us at 686-9999. And now, here's more Total Health.
Hi, and welcome back to Total Health Live. My name is Rose Trina, and in studio today, if you're just joining us, in studio today we have Elena Tanova, nurse practitioner, and Dr. Jared Santana, and we are talking about longevity. And before we went to the break, we were actually talking about the different studies on people all over the world that lived long lives and why.
Right. I was reading so many books that you can find nowadays on longevity, and I'm so glad that publicity is talking about that. I know, Jared, you have some books from Dr. Michael Greger.
Correct.
Some of them are like How Not to Die, then How Not to Diet. There is another book, How Not to Age. What else?
How Not to Age is the latest one.
The latest one.
He just released it a few months ago.
This is incredible.
Scientific gold is what it is.
So, yeah, we're talking about that, and it is possible to live a long life. So what are some of the factors that can affect the longevity?
So the factors we talked a little bit were, you know, we mentioned them in the beginning, right? Genetics, what you eat, what you, you know, exercise, which would be part of the lifestyle, your access to healthcare and the environment. But, you know, adding on to that, I think the question is, what can I do to live a long? I mean, what are some of the specific things we can do to live a long, healthy life? And so what I did is I just started digging in. You know, what does the research say? And I narrowed it down to five things that I wanted to share with you today.
It is very nice you're mentioning that. When I talk to my patients, I see that they are inspired. They like their lives. They want to live longer with their beloved ones, and they want to do everything that is possible to stay on this earth for a longer time. I had a patient, she's 70 years old. We talk about longevity, and she came in 3 months for her follow-up, and she was looking for me. She's like, "Where is Elena? Where is Elena? Where is Elena?" And so I was in urgent care, and she rushed towards me. She's like, "Elena, you sent me to the gym. Look at my muscles." And she's 70 years old, and she pulls out these big
so
biceps,
cute.
You know,
wow.
Like so shredded. She's like, "I do body combat every other day. I go to Zumba. I do hula. I do all type of the Chamorro dances." She said, "But now, what do I do with those muscles?" So that was the biggest problem. But right. We, with her, we reversed all those conditions. And yesterday, I saw her again. She said, "Am I going to make it to 100?
I love it. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because actually I didn't put that one as one of my tips, but there's a ton of research on just physical activity. So what you just mentioned right now, I've had patients tell me the same thing. And the more active you are, the longer you put off being diagnosed with a type of dementia, and the longer, healthier life you will have. I mean, it's just the activity, the physical activity is so tied to longevity, it's not even funny.
We had a visitor, Dr.
Scharfenberger. Right.
How old is he?
100.
100 years old. And he came and he gave us a lecture. And when they asked him, what's one thing that you would recommend somebody, you know, to stay healthy? He said, that's exercise. If you don't exercise, you can't make it.
Right.
Exercise alone can bring you into that level.
Right.
And he said, at certain age, we start being able to afford foods we always wanted to eat. And then we are tired from our job. And so we kind of let it go. But that's number one.
Absolutely. Do you want me to go ahead and mention some of the other ones? Okay. So how can I live to an old age while maintaining a good quality of life? Okay. So here's a couple of tips, and most of them have to do with diet. And this is what the research shows. All right. Number one, one of the main things we should all be eating. Are you ready for this? It is nuts. Eating nuts regularly decreases your risk from dying from a stroke, heart disease, respiratory diseases, infections, diabetes, and cancer. That's more than half our top 10 killers just by increasing our nuts. The question is, you know, we have the American influence. What about peanut butter is one of the questions. Peanut butter didn't make the cut. And I think it's because of a lot of the additives they put into peanut butter. But I'll tell you what the healthiest nut is. Are you ready for that?
I am.
Or do you know what that is?
I do.
All right. Walnuts are the healthiest nut out there. They actually improve artery function, and we know that heart disease is one of our number one killers. So we, all of us, should be eating more nuts.
Yeah, the Loma Linda, the Blue Zone, they also have their scientific research community, and they discovered that walnuts, they have a study on walnuts.
Oh, yeah.
And all the centenarians over there, they eat walnuts.
Yes.
Black walnut, white walnut.
And about a handful a day, between 0.5 and 1 ounce a day is usually all you need. You don't need a whole lot of nuts because, you know, the calories can add up quickly. But this is my number one recommendation from a dietary standpoint on living a long life.
And I do have a chamorro version of the walnut. We do have the duk duk, the seeded breadfruit, which is incredible. You can go in the forest and you can find them. You know, we have the normal breadfruit and we have the one with the seeds. The one with the seeds are so nutritious. It has omega-3. You have everything you can wish, from a food. And so if you can't find walnuts, don't worry. There are duk duks in many places. When you're looking at the leaf of the breadfruit, make sure it looks like a golf glove. Go for it. Wait for that breadfruit and please enjoy it. You can not fry it. You can bake it. You can peel it. You can boil it. It is delicious.
There you have it. A local chamorro favorite. Right?
Absolutely.
All right. Second thing I have on the list is greens. Now, when I say greens, I basically mean the green-colored vegetables. They boost our immunity. They slow our metabolism. They actually protect against air pollution, which I think is very interesting. This is your lettuce, your romaine, your kale, your broccoli, all the green leafy vegetables especially. What are the healthiest? So there is actually a health score developed by Dr. Joel Fuhrman. And I remember when I read his research on it, the ones with the highest amount of nutritional content were kale and collards. And I'm actually trying to grow kale at this time. I know kale, it likes a little bit cooler climate, but I'm tweaking it a little bit. And I know that you can also find warm climate kale seeds. And so that's what I'm working on right now, because I know it's one of the healthiest things I can put in my body.
We also have pumpkin tips.
Yes.
Some chamorro, version. They're delicious. We have a lot of luffa that it is growing in Guam.
And Malabar spinach.
Absolutely. Malabar spinach. We have the Malabar chestnut. We have a lot of greens.
Right.
Some of the fruit trees you can eat, the leaves, noni leaves you can eat. Absolutely. There is no way we can stay hungry on Guam. There's just so much we can go and explore. Tangan, it was one of the trees that we usually don't look at it at all. Maybe we can collect some of the seeds for ornaments, but when it is very green in the beginning, the bean pots are very nutritious, and it's the way to go for our greens.
Beautiful. There's another local chamorro tip right there. All right, number three, berries. Jam-packed with antioxidants. They improve cognition, eyesight, and longevity. So what do you think is the healthiest berry out there? The one with the highest content of antioxidants? That would be the blackberry. Now, we know here, living in Guam, that not all berries grow here. It's not like everybody has strawberry or blueberry bushes. But there is the mulberry. We actually have a tree in our backyard, and it gives a lot of berries. And so it's not that you can't find it. It's there. Like Elena says, we do have some local favorites if we're willing to look for them.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many different types of Eugenia berries. They come in different colors. I absolutely love exploring the berry bushes here. The biggest berry in the world is papaya. People don't know papaya is a berry, but it is a berry.
Interesting.
And has everything you need, antioxidants and even antiparasitic properties in it. And also really helps with gout, which is quite popular here. We do have the Suriname cherry. We have the Manzanilla cherry. It's my favorite. If you eat 9 of that, beats all gout. Can prolong your life, guarantee. Then we have the star cherry. That it's very, very nutritious. It has a lot of vitamin C. And I bet if you eat all those berries, we'll prolong
you
our
will
lives.
Have an antioxidant powerhouse. I'm so glad I have Elena here next to me. She's my local grower. All right, number four. You've heard of probiotics and prebiotics, right? We don't actually recommend that everybody go out there and buy prebiotics or probiotics. Why? Because your body can make their own. And how do you do that? You do that by increasing your fiber intake. So fiber is a super, super substance found in food. It's found in whole grains. It's found in beans and legumes like lentils and chickpeas. It's found in fruit. It's found in vegetables. Very little fiber in meat and fish, right? There's basically not much there. But the fiber, what it does is, especially the insoluble fiber, like think of a broccoli stalk, right? You know, you chew it, you swallow it, and that is a feast for your microbiome. What's your microbiome? I think Elena has talked about the microbiome in the past. That is your healthy gut bacteria. Do you know how much bacteria you have in your intestine, in your stomach, your small intestine, large intestine? If you were to get all of that bacteria together, it would be the size of a kidney. It is huge.
It actually outnumbers your own personal cells.
Absolutely.
We are more microorganism than
right.
microorganism.
And those microorganisms in your gut produce hormones. They produce vitamins. They're a powerhouse of immune function. They actually protect you against other diseases. And the way you feed them and the way you maintain a healthy microbiome. Let's get into number five on the list before the break comes, all right? The fifth one. This one was the one that was the most interesting to me. The first four make a lot of sense. This one was kind of hard. This one's called caloric restriction, okay?
Before people cringe on that word.
Right, exactly. We live in a world of abundance, right? And we're so used to just eating until we stuff our faces. But that was not always so. Even Ben Franklin said, to lengthen thy life, lessen thy meals. A lot of intelligence there, a lot of wisdom, right? And so what they found, they've tested thousands of animals from insects all the way to dogs, and everything they've tested, if they do any type of restriction of food, those animals end up living longer. It's like a stress that it puts on the body that puts it into a protective mode. And so people who fast, for example, and most religions do fasting, like, you know, Muslims, Buddhists, Christians, you know, people who fast often or people who don't overeat, overall, all the scientific research points, they tend to live longer lives. It's amazing.
So the less we eat, the longer we live.
The less we eat, the longer we live. It's counterintuitive, right?
It is, absolutely.
But that is what the research shows.
That is the music, so we're going to go ahead and cut to a break. If you have a question, go ahead and call it in at 671-472-1111. That's 671-472-1111 on Guam. In the CNMI, call us at 670-323-1113. That's 670-323-1113. Also, we're streaming to Facebook, so if you have a question and you're on Facebook, you can leave your question in the comments section below the video. Don't go anywhere. Total Health Live will be right back after this short break.
The sands of time, there are ancient writings containing ageless wisdom. Millions are finding these words are life-changing even today. Listen and discover ancient wisdom. In a nation where the divorce rate is over 50%, people are looking for answers. Obviously, we are a nation that is very confused about what real love is all about. Here's God's perspective of love from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. All these bits of wisdom on love would revolutionize marriages if they were applied. From the International Bible Society at IBS.org.
From Joy FM.
And we're back with more Total Health. Give us a call with your medical questions. Number to call in Guam is 472-1111. If you're in the CNMI, the number to call is 323-1113. Or you can text or WhatsApp us at 686-9999. Now back to the program.
Hi, and welcome back to Total Health Live. We don't have a lot of time left, so we'll jump right back into the program.
Jared, I'm so glad you mentioned about abundance, that nowadays we are really bombarded with so much. When patients come to the clinic and they say, "Doc, what do I have to take? Do I have to take these berries extract? Do I have to take those herbs? What do I have to take?" I said, "None. You know, we don't. You are not deficient on that." And sometimes I even tell them, "You're not lisinopril deficient. You know, it's not that you're born with a deficiency right. to any medication, and only this right. medication can sustain you. We have enough. Supermarkets are full. We have fresh markets in Guam. You can go to the forest and get food. We are not suffering so much because of that. We do have abundance. And now it's coming a time that we're saying, hey, there is a way to live longer. Hey, but it comes with some restriction." All right. So it is. We need to be mindful of the foods we eat. And we have spoken before about intermittent fasting and how you can really fast. And mm-hmm. some religions, as you said, they fast for a day or they fast for a whole month and a whole weekend in order to reset themselves and to be able to concentrate more mentally and spiritually.
Correct.
So that's also... you know, how also can we live a long life, be healthy, and stay still mentally healthy?
Well, it's interesting that you should mention that, because one of the questions we had was, does mental health affect longevity? And the answer is yes. Chronic stress accelerates DNA aging, which can at the same time increase coronary artery disease, which is our number one killer. You know, serious conditions, some of us manage them, like schizophrenia. These can decrease age by up to 25 years. That's a long time with just a mental health condition, right? Mm-hmm. Severe depression, bipolar, those are lumped into that. And we know that positive emotions are associated with longer lives. You know, people who tend to be positive, even in the face of incredible adversity, live a longer life. Resilience contributes to longer lifespans. Resilience... you know, they've done many studies, especially in the American population. We have very little resilience in this country. Resilience basically means the ability to recover and adapt from adversity, from trauma. So many bad things have happened to people, and resilience measures how well you are prepared to deal with that. And unfortunately, you know, people who don't have a lot of resilience, they don't have a lot of longevity. At the same time,
it's not very easy, because when all the adversities are coming very strong on you, many times you might think about even taking your life. That
Correct.
Shortens your life. But if we are able to sustain challenges over and over, get stronger, build coping strategies, and find ways to live healthier and longer, in the long term, we'll realize it was worth it, our life. God had put a very deep purpose for all of us, and it certainly could make a difference for you and everybody around you, or even the whole world.
I'm glad you said what you did. I read a book recently about how having a spiritual belief system, and it could be any spiritual belief system, patients that have an organized religious belief system, let's say Christians, for example, Muslims, for example, they tend to have better resilience. They tend to have less mental health. They tend to have less high blood pressure. They live longer lives. And it's that belief, that belief in God that can help us live a longer life.
As you are saying that, I think it's very appropriate for us to say something about the telomeres. We can talk you know, for a whole hour about the telomeres, but the telomeres are the endings of our chromosomes that are responsible for how long we're going to live. And with every decision we take, you know, what meal we're going to eat, or how much we're going to exercise today, or sleep today, or be less stressed, we either prolong or we shorten those telomeres.
Wow.
So the end of the chromosomes are important, because every time this cell divides, next time it divides with a shorter or longer telomeres. And the moment that they shorten completely, or they're completely worn out, this is the time you die. You're like telomereless. You don't have it anymore.
Telomere
so
deficiency,
it's now,
right?
Yeah, that's a deficiency we don't want to have. And once you have those end of chromosomes that are completely out, this is your time to really die. But with your diet, with your lifestyle, actually you have a saying. And not only that, is what you said, religious services, apparently, I do have a lot on that topic. I have compiled a lot of research, says that it prolongs telomeres. So once
Amazing.
A week, it has been tested that people that do go and do have a belief in a higher power, that somebody else has the control, not us, live longer.
It's amazing.
And not only that, people that do a lot of caring work. So if you care for people, of course, your life might not turn out the way you want it. Maybe you have to take care of somebody in bed for years. But those people that care for others, God has put a protective mechanism. First, He increases your resilience. That increases the telomeres. And second, it prolongs your life. And I was very nicely surprised, Jared, to find out that many things can influence the longevity. Diet, drinking water.
Absolutely.
Michael Greger said, even if you drink two glasses more, you can expand your life with years. So drinking water, exercise, sleeping well, put stress at bay are important. Going to church services, life of care, life with purpose for others, not living to self. It's actually one of the number one, but the top one, the top thing that can really the most prolong your life, no matter what, even if you don't have the other factors, is sacrificial love. When a mother loves her child, you know, ready to sacrifice everything for the child, having that purpose, doing everything out of love, God has put that protective mechanism. You see many doctors and nurses, we are exhausted by the end of the day, and then the next morning we take a shower, we still come to work,
right.
And you will wonder how we can do it, and many of us can't because it's too much, but that God has put that protective mechanism for us, prolonging our telomeres because we care for others.
Right.
And then sometimes we wonder how we do it. By God's grace.
Amen.
And maybe you're taking care of somebody with dementia at home that would take a lot of your energy and effort. God is prolonging your telomeres. The more sacrificial love, the more care for others, it is not in vain. It's not only a burnout. It is they're a mechanism to protect you and live longer. And God says, you know, I will bless you with all those blessings from heaven, and I will not instill any of the sicknesses that were from Egypt, you know, from an abundant life and all that. God wants to bless us, and that's why He has put all those structures in place for us to have long and beautiful and abundant life.
You know, I like what you just said, and it reminds me of a chapter in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 58, where at the end God says how to get real healing. And I invite you, if you haven't read it, read the chapter. It's not very long. I think it's only about 14 verses long, but it's going to tell you exactly, and it was what Elena was mentioning. You put yourself out there to serve others, and it's incredible what God will do in your life.
God will defend you. God will protect you. God will prolong your life. Don't think about those consequences, because sometimes we do something and then we're like, I have to take care of myself. And then we go and then we pull back and we're trying to find that balance. And sometimes it's not easy.
Right.
But even if you don't have that balance, even if you go overboard caring for others, God is protecting you. And on a genetic level, He can change, you know, those genes. And He is ready to do that. And at the end of the day, He's the one that says how long we're going to live.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Because, you know, anyone can just cross the street one day and get hit by a truck. You had no idea it was going to happen, but you live every day like it's your last day.
The first and the last day.
Yeah.
Okay. And God also has put many Bible verses that, you know, if we obey His law, if we love His precept, He's going to prolong our lives.
That's right. That's right. And I have one to share here toward the end of our program. And I found this one. It's in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And it says, my son, obviously my son or my daughter, right? Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. And the Lord wants us to be obedient. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Isn't that a beautiful promise?
A beautiful promise. I've never heard it. Where is this coming from?
This is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2.
Wow, that's amazing. I also have a beautiful verse that comes from Jim Elliot. He was a missionary in Ecuador. He lost his life trying to evangelize the area. He says he's not fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose.
Wow.
We are not fool when we try to care for others. You know, we serve others, we give our lives to others, because God is the one that he's going to give us things that we cannot keep and we cannot lose. It is him that he reigns over our lives, and it is him that have the last saying. We are living in a world that suicide is taking place every 40 seconds. It's becoming more and more rampant in all the countries, even countries where we would think that people will live a lavish and abundant life. People are suffering because of lack of understanding. The pain is increasing among us, and we don't seem to have a sympathy for one another. Everybody's having problems for themselves, and that's why people are looking for solutions like maybe drugs or maybe opioids or something that can numb the pain. But imagine what a beautiful world will be, not only living a long life, but living a life for others where your pain matters to me. And I will do everything, you know, with God's help to help you, and you'll do everything to help me. If we stretch arms to each other in those moments, we'll have less suicide, we'll have less drugs, we'll have less crime, we'll have a purposeful life, and not only a long life, a life that really matters.
Yes, as Christians, we're also waiting for Christ's return, right? Because when Jesus comes back, then we will know what a long life really is all about.
It will be all an eternal life.
Amen.
Thank you, Elena, and thank you, Dr. Santana, for today, and thank you as well to all our listeners. Tune in again next week, Wednesday, for more Total Health Live.
Be sure to check with your doctors before making any sudden life changes discussed today. Total Health is brought to you in partnership with Guam Seventh-day Adventist Clinic, where health is their mission. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Thank you, and Sejuas Masi, for listening to Total Health right here on Joy FM.